Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life.
Welcome to Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, live in studio on a gorgeous Thursday, Thursday night football matchup coming up tonight, Houston Texans, Carolina Panthers. Going to be joined by Bryce Wheeler, coming up 3:30. He is a disability consultant for the Baltimore Orioles, co-founder of the Beautiful Lives Project. Check that out around 3:30. Excited to have Bryce on here. But first, Darren.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
I am doing pretty good, pretty good. I do want us to keep in mind, and I want people who are listening to the show, whether you're listening to it on 1510.com or listening to us on the radio over the air, keep our colleague and friend Josh Briscoe in your thoughts and your prayers. He was rushed to the hospital yesterday. At one time, he was unresponsive. His father and his girlfriend have been on social media to kind of give us updates here and there. Not going to go into any details, but do want, if you're a prayer warrior, if you like to send out positive vibes, to please keep him in your thoughts and your prayers as he recovers.
It sounds like he's doing better. It sounds like he's stabilized. So that's obviously good progress there. Very scary situation. You never want to see anything like that happen, but it is good to see that he is starting to, at least according to reports, kind of get better, turn the page. So, yeah, think about Josh Briscoe. Obviously a good friend, good colleague. Love JB Briscoe.
Funny as hell. I still remember when I was doing the Sunday show. I think this was last year. And I don't know. And I have no idea where or why I said it. But I was doing what you call a preview or segue going from his show to my show, and he had me on and no, take that back. He was a guest on the show right after his show, and we said something and we were talking about the NFL players and weed and stuff, so I wanted his input. He was like, "How is that my shtick?" I was like, "I don't know, but something about you just says, you know, weed all of
it." It screams it, yeah.
It just screams it. So, and he ended up using that as a clip, I think, every time I would come on his show. So I thought that was funny. But, yeah, I mean, you know, look, I'm a spiritual person. And so, yeah, as soon as we heard about it, I sent him a text, whatever. I mean, I didn't know. And when they said he was in the hospital, I didn't know if it was just something, you know, you go in and out of. Because, you know, I mean, we've all been there. But the severity of it, did not realize it until I read what his father had posted on social media. So, be that as it may, we just ask that everyone keeps him in their thoughts and their prayers, and hope for a speedy recovery. I'll probably be doing his show, so I don't know if you're busy Tuesday, but probably sitting in for him on his show on Tuesday. So, I was just asked about that about 15 minutes ago, so that's why I'm getting you off guard with it. But, yeah, so we'll be doing that. Programming note, I won't be on after the football game tonight on 8:10, because of the timeliness and how the games are running or whatever. It's just best, especially when I'm going to be traveling and stuff, it's going to be hard for me to try to, I guess, be on the air immediately after the game, especially if I'm East Coast or whatever. I'll be up extremely late. And if I'm traveling back, they just don't want me, you know, trying to push myself to be on the air like that. So, like I said, in the meantime, I'll sit in for Josh next week because he only has one show next week. I'll sit in for him next week, and then we'll play the ship by ear on 8:10 as we go. So,
Jamie Collins, Detroit Lions linebacker, Dan Campbell came out and said they are looking for potential suitors.
Are you trying to say we need to get Ben Neiman over to him?
I'm just going to go ahead and say – I would not mind taking a look at Jamie Collins. Jamie Collins was going to be in.
Can he tackle?
Yeah, he can tackle.
Wow. I mean, everybody that's a linebacker can't tackle Sterling.
Well, I get that. Trust me.
Come on,
yes.
Now.
But Jamie Collins has been around for a good amount of time now. He's been in the NFL for a long time, veteran guy. Dan Campbell said that he was going to be in a reduced role, but he had too much respect for Jamie Collins to do that. Obviously, the Lions are rebuilding. They have no need for a, what, nine-year? Is it nine-year veteran? He's been in the NFL for a long time. So if the Chiefs wanted to take a look at Jamie Collins, I would not be opposed.
I wouldn't be opposed either. I mean, look, the more the merrier, the more help, the better. I'm trying to remember, is this the same Jamie Collins that was with the New England Patriots?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure, because if I remember correctly, he was on the Patriots at one time, and then I think he got cut by the Patriots, and then they brought him back.
Yeah, he was from the Patriots, got cut. Then he went to, I want to say, Cleveland at one point, struggled, then signed, I think they went back to New England, successful, then went to Miami, signed a large contract, got cut, went to Detroit.
That's what it was. Yeah. So he got. He was, there was something that took place in New England that he didn't play well or something, and Bill Belichick cut him late in the year. He played seven games in New England, and then Belichick cut him. Went to Cleveland, played for 2.5 years, and then Belichick brought him back in 2019, and that was the year that they won the Super Bowl, 2018 going into 2019, and then of course the following year is when the Chiefs won. So he does have a couple of Super Bowl rings with them. So yeah, I figured this was the same guy. I would go after him. I would go after him in a heartbeat if he's depending on what they have to offer.
Yeah, I don't imagine it's going to be a extremely large asking price. Let me look at what his contract is.
Yeah, but he's also been playing for a number of years, too. So, what, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, this is 10th year in the NFL. So, just not sure what the value of it is. I'm pretty sure he's got a nice contract because Matt Patricia brought him in from New England. So, I'm pretty sure he took care of him pretty well. Pretty sure he took care of him pretty well. His contract, he was a free agent.
I don't know why it's not showing up. It's not giving me anything.
Yeah. Oh, well.
No. It's not giving me anything, but I can't imagine it being something ridiculous. So
he ain't broke. I can tell you that much.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I could hold some for him if he wants me to. Let me hold a couple thousand. No, but I wouldn't mind if Kansas City Chiefs took a look there. Carolina Panthers at Houston Texans tonight. Houston has been better than expected, and Carolina has been way better than expected. What's your initial takeaway on tonight's game?
On my parlay, I have them winning tonight. I have Carolina winning.
How big's the parlay?
It's a 10-leg. No. Hey, hold on. But look, you would be impressed with this one, Sterling.
Would I?
No. Because look, I'm going to pull it up. We can actually go through it now. But I think they're like an 8-point favorite. I believe that they'll cover, but I don't have that as my parlay. I'm kind of this weekend just based off of what we saw last week with the guy doing the 16-leg parlay just on the money line. I was like, let me try my.
Well, you know what's crazy?
What's that?
On the 16-leg parlay? He still missed.
Yeah, no. Well, no. He missed, but they still paid him.
They still paid him because there wasn't a buyout option because of – I think it's because 16 games, you're not supposed – basically, BetMGM was like, hey, we don't normally do a 16-game parlay, but we're still going to pay you because it was such good publicity for us.
130. Well, I mean, maybe they need to listen to the show. But I've got – okay, so this is my 10-leg parlay. Now, you tell me whether or not you think this is good.
Hit me with it.
Carolina versus Houston, who you think I have winning?
Well, Carolina.
I just told you. Arizona Cardinals versus Jacksonville. Who you got?
Well, Arizona.
Okay.
But that's two.
Okay.
Give me eight more.
Hold on. Indianapolis Colts to Tennessee Titans.
Oh, coin flip.
Seriously? Carson Wentz isn't playing.
Is he officially out?
He's not going to play.
He finished last game.
And this game is at Tennessee. He didn't practice today. Game's at Tennessee.
Lamar Jackson didn't practice today either. That doesn't mean Lamar's not playing.
Lamar did a flip. I mean, this dude had his ankles turned 360 degrees. Just answer the question.
Oh, dude, coin flip. I would.
Tennessee, Sterling.
Their defense is bad. If Carson Wentz plays, I'm going with Indy. If Carson Wentz doesn't play,
on the road?
Tennessee,
you don't think
I don't
their
think
defense is going to be attacking them? You know
Tennessee's defense is horrible.
They're going to go after his ankles.
They are a horrible defense. They can't get pressure on him against the Indianapolis Colts' great offensive line.
Didn't they win last week against Russell Wilson?
I'm telling you.
Okay. Well, I got Tennessee, so that's three. Baltimore at Detroit.
Baltimore.
Okay. Buffalo at the Washington football team.
Buffalo.
Yeah. Oh, so you said it with your chest out. Let's see. Chicago Bears, Cleveland Browns. I got Chicago plus seven. That was the one I took. I took Chicago plus seven.
And it's going to be Justin Fields. No, I like Cleveland.
No. I like Cleveland to win. But
no,
I'm saying,
I like Cleveland, I think, winning by more than seven. Justin Fields really struggled when he filled in for Andy Dalton. I get it. He has a full week of practice as a QB1 and all this stuff. I get that. But he really struggled.
We'll see how that unfolds. New York Giants versus Atlanta Falcons.
Oh. That's Atlanta.
Huh?
Giants?
New York Giants. You know, the Giants, they blew the game, but, they did put up points last week. The Falcons, really?
Yeah,
Have you not seen their defense?
Oh, horrible, but.
I mean, Matt Ryan threw two pick sixes? Seriously?
They're tipped. Those were both on him. I'm going with the Falcons.
Raiders at the Dolphins, or Dolphins at the Raiders.
Raiders.
And then I got over 54.5 Chiefs Chargers.
Yeah, don't touch the spread. Go.
So I got that when I did that for
What is it?
$9.26 to win $585.24.
Oh, baby. Lock it in. Sign, seal, delivered.
Now
I'm surprised they haven't tried to buy you out already.
No, I'm not going to take anything less than $5.85. So, they can keep the 24 cents. So, I did a couple of boosts because I don't know if you've been on the website. They got a couple of boosts. UFC main card, anyone to bleed, $25.
I've not seen this. Do people bleed a lot? Well, UFC, they bleed a lot.
I don't know.
Is it boxing or UFC?
UFC.
Oh, yeah, they bleed all the time in UFC.
That's the whole point. $25. I bet $25, I get $25. So I'll be able to do more parlays come Sunday morning.
There you go. Unless you miss it, and then
you're
going to be
upset. If nobody bleeds, that's the issue with UFC. I'll take that loss too. And then the Ryder Cup, USA to win, I bet $17 to win $17. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, that's fun. Are you a Ryder Cup guy? Do you watch the Ryder Cup at all? I know you're not
Tiger's
a huge
not
golfer.
Playing,
yeah, so. I know you're not a huge golfer, so I didn't know if you – but still, it's USA. It's kind of like Olympics, but –
not Olympics,
but better.
No, I don't. It was something where I saw lock it in, USA to win plus 100, kind of guarantees me a win. So
that does not guarantee you a win. The USA is.
Well, I'm praying that they win.
I am too.
But,
I'm Team USA.
But the only bad thing about it is that the game is it now? Does it last a whole weekend, or is it a 1 or 2 day event?
It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday's what's an alternate shot. Saturday's best ball. Sunday is singles.
So I guess I'll find out Sunday if I win. UFC will take place Saturday night, which is the 25th. Yeah, so
Oh, it's at Whistling Straits too. This is fun.
So you gonna put a bet on it too?
I'll put a bet on it. I might do it, but.
But do it on the UFC. I mean, what's the free $25?
How do you keep getting free money? That's what I don't understand.
No.
Your money is free money, apparently.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So, I mean, even if you bet $25 real dollars, you get that and your $25. Just like the Jacksonville game. I mean, the tennis, the Bucks game.
But that USA has to win.
No. I was talking about the UFC.
So, oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, I figured somebody's going to bleed. I mean, you can just get a busted lip. If it's bleeding, it's bleeding. Blood is blood.
That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are gimme bets. I mean, stuff like that. I'm going to take that all day, every day, and twice on Sundays.
I'm stoked for Ryder Cup. I'm playing on Saturday. I got some.
You're not playing in the Ryder Cup, Sterling.
It's a Fraternity Brothers Ryder Cup thing. We got eight dudes going out there. We're going to go up. Dubs Dread played 27 holes, 999, do an alternate shot. I've never played alternate shot. Darren, To put this in perspective.
Please.
Alternate shot is what it sounds like. One guy, you're paired with another teammate. One guy hits a shot, then you hit the next shot. Other guy hits a shot. Well, if that guy screws you, if you're behind a tree, you got to hit from behind a tree. So I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm very much nervous about not putting my teammate behind a tree. I'm excited for Ryder Cup.
How does that work?
What do you mean?
I mean, why would
you? It's two teams. So it's USA versus Europe, right? An alternate shot. You got the pairings of two. Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods have done it before. Where they, one guy hits a drive, the next guy hits a second shot, next guy hits a third shot. Hopefully it's, you're not bogeying.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, well.
I want to talk more about tonight's football game. Again, Bryce Wheeler joining us, disability consultant from the Baltimore Orioles, co-founder of the Beautiful Lives Project, joining us at 3:30 around then. Tonight's game, though, I know you gave us your 10-leg parlay. You kind of danced around what you think tonight's game's going to be.
Well, I mean, I told you Carolina's going to win. Whether or not they – I mean, I think they'll even cover the 8 points that it's expected to be. But I think it's going to be – I don't think it's going to be a good game just because there's no Deshaun Watson, Tyrod Taylor. I think had he been playing, I think it would make the game a little bit more competitive. I'm not familiar with, you know, with the backup quarterback.
Davis Mills, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't know anything about him. So, I can't speak intelligently enough about it. So
it was also kind of funny how you stumbled over intelligently after.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting to talk about him. But be that as it may, I think Sam Darnold, you know, look, I want to see just how well Sam Darnold, Christian McCaffrey, because here's the thing. I expect a blowout, so to speak, in this game. I don't expect it to be real close at all. So I want to see. And look, it's kind of hard because we look at like the Denver Broncos, the two teams that they've beaten thus far, the Giants and Jacksonville, and then of course they play the Jets on Sunday, so we expect them to be 3-0, but 3-0 depending on how you win is way differently. Carolina Panthers, they won their first game and then they beat the Saints, who in week one beat the Green Bay Packers, who in week two beat the Detroit Lions, but it's the Detroit Lions who scored 33 points. Against the San Francisco 49ers, who plays the Green Bay Packers Sunday night. So, so I look at it like that. I try to keep things in perspective and put a little context to it. So I really just want to see how this offense shapes up with Darnold, McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and those players. Obviously, I think defensively they're much better than what we expected. So
yeah, Carolina's been very – well, Carolina was – kind of built, they've done a lot of draft picks, a lot of their building blocks have been on defense, and that shows by them averaging 10.5 points against per game. I have some question marks still about Carolina's offense. I like the receivers. I like DJ Moore. I like
McCaffrey,
and who's the other receiver? Robbie Anderson.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold's been solid, but their defense is where they're really going to thrive at. The over under for tonight's game is 43. I almost like the under. It's not fun rooting for the under. I get that. It kind of sucks. I know it's only a 20 game gets you over.
Well, and the key is, if Carolina gets up a certain amount, do they kind of pull things off? And look, for the Texans to win, they're gonna have to run the ball.
They have like six running backs in their
roster. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But they're gonna have to pull like a Baltimore Ravens type thing, because you've got to protect Davis Mills, because you don't – I mean, he had a touchdown and an interception last week.
Yeah.
But, you
good
know,
touchdown to Brandon Cooks, by the way.
Yeah. And you know, look, he's a rookie out of Stanford. So you want to protect him as best you can and not have to put him hopefully in third and long situations. So the best way to help him is to keep Carolina's offense off the field. Now, again, you talked about the defense. The defense – has gotten better for Carolina, so you know that's going to be the chess match right there. I'm hoping that the Texans put up a good show, and look, even if they win, that messed my parlay, but that would be good for them. I just want them to have a good showing on national television for the head coach David Culley. So this will be probably my first and only game that I'll watch of the Texans this year, because it's Thursday Night Football. It's on television, so
it's not on.
Well, it's on the NFL Network.
Yeah, which sucks. They don't simulcast anymore. Because what did it used to be?
No. It's going to be simulcast on Fox, but
is it? Is it on Fox tonight?
Yeah, no. It's not tonight, but I'm saying once they get past these horrible games.
Yeah, it's the first like four games or what,
three or four games. Yeah,
I think last year's first four.
Well, this is only week two because the first one is on NBC.
Yeah. Gosh, yeah. I hate they don't simulcast. I got to go to a bar tonight to watch.
Yes, I mean, I want David Culley to have a good showing on television. This is his first opportunity to be able to be on national TV. So you want the players to do well. Like next week's game is also on the NFL Network. You got the Jaguars and the Bengals. So
Urban Meyer, your favorite.
Yeah, and so it's not going to be until week five.
Okay.
That's when you got the Rams and the Seahawks.
Finally, and we get the back on the big boys. I am excited to see this game tonight because the Texans have been better than expected. Sometimes when you have a rookie quarterback, you have the unknown. Sometimes that can work in their favor. Just have Justin Herbert against the Chiefs when they were a little confused. I get they've had time to prepare for Davis Mills, but there's not much tape on him. That can work both ways. Carolina's defense has been outstanding. I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair, personally. Texans defense, they have some guys, right? They're not horrible. They're not good defensive. They're not horrible defensive, the Texans aren't. And I do think, like you said, they're going to try and run the ball a lot. They're going to try and shorten the game. I would take the under. Mark Ingram's been okay. They have Duke Johnson Jr. They have Philip Lindsay. Yeah. I mean, if this team was from 3 years ago, that's a good running attack. I mean, again, these guys are all older at this point.
And they do have a respectable wide receiver. I mean, Brandon Cooks and Danny Amendola. I mean, it's not.
I've not heard the name Danny Amendola in a while, though.
Yeah.
I think he's actually out tonight. I'm looking at Danny Amendola on ESPN. Says
okay,
he's out,
well, so, he's out. Okay, well. But you got Christian Kirksey on the defense. I mean,
yeah, Kirksey.
They've got, they got some players, so. I mean, you just want to be competitive, okay? I mean, for me, obviously I want Carolina to win, but I just want a competitive ball game to where you're not turning the TVs off, at the end of the, in the middle of the first quarter because it's like, I can't take this no more.
Yes, I agree.
Unless you just don't want to hear Joe Buck, then you can just
come on. Why does Joe Buck always get so much bleep?
I have no idea. I don't know what people's issues.
You just said something, though, too. You said Trent
because
of Joe.
Well, no, because
he's such an easy target.
No. Well, because that, trust me, that's going to be trending on Twitter tonight.
I know, but
he says it does. It trends on Twitter.
I don't get it. Joe Buck is fine. I get it. He's not the best. He's not my favorite. Like, I love Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, and I like Tony Romo. I get it. But Joe Buck's good. Everyone always rips on Joe Buck because it's easy to do. I get people in Kansas City don't like him because of his apparent affection with the San Francisco Giants over Kansas City. I got all that, and that was frustrating. I get it. But Joe Buck, saying he's not a great announcer is like saying water's not wet. He's very good.
I didn't say that. I just said that people troll him on social media, on Twitter. I mean, I don't care either way. I don't listen to him like that. I listen for Troy Aikman because Troy Aikman.
Oh, I hate Troy Aikman.
Keeps it 100.
Troy Aikman is the worst.
You're just mad because he slandered Patrick in Patrick's first year.
Nothing about that.
And he was speaking facts.
He was not speaking facts.
He was. He told him at the time because somebody's talking about him being basically like, get 33% of the Super Bowl.
And guess what? He did that exact same year.
Well, it was the following year.
But my point is, Troy Aikman acts like the game is still played in 1990. The game's not played in 1990. It's 2021. He acts like...
Don't act like he's not a good announcer.
He's horrendous.
He is not.
Because he thinks the game is still 30 years ago. You got to establish the run. You got to run 45 times a game with Emmitt Smith and throw 10 times. Don't go on fourth down. Punt the ball every chance you get.
How many Super Bowls
he's
did
horrible.
He lead his team to?
That Emmitt Smith and all those wide receivers and a great defense and the best offense line. Dude, that's such an asinine comment. If you think it's Troy Aikman that was the guy that led those Dallas Cowboys.
Here we go again. So hold on. So you want to credit Patrick, but you don't want to credit Mahomes. You don't want to credit Troy Aikman.
No. Troy Aikman was very good in his era. In his era, Troy Aikman was very good. Eras change. The game change. he was very good in his era, right? I'm not taking it from what he did then.
Okay,
but compared to what it is now, compared to the game has changed, but he still acts like and announces like the game was played back in his day. I don't like that. It's different. Same thing in baseball. John Smoltz says the same stuff. John Smoltz in baseball goes, well, back in my day, sure, guys didn't all throw 100 miles an hour, but they had accuracy. Guys struck out less. Sure, but if you look at the overlying numbers, because people know more now, we understand the game. The game has evolved. It's not played in the 90s. The game is now in 2021.
I have no idea how you brought John Smoltz into this.
Because he's the baseball equivalent of Troy Aikman.
There is no baseball equivalent to Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman is a GOAT.
Two dudes who are very good in their era, 100%.
Who would you rather have, Troy Aikman or Tony Romo?
Announcing a game?
Yeah.
Oh, Tony Romo without question. Tony Romo's fantastic.
That's why Tony Romo never won. Anyway.
Look at his teams compared to those teams with Aikman. Look at the difference.
Hey, you give Patrick Mahomes that offensive line, that defense, whatever, watch how many Super Bowls he wins.
Yeah, like 17. No, I'm kidding. That's hyperbole, but.
No, you probably believe it. But you know what? One player I am looking forward to watching tonight is J.C. Horn, the rookie cornerback. He had an interception in week number one. I think he was picked number 7, and I think Patrick Surtain was number 8. And then I think the Cowboys ended up getting Micah Parsons. But I'm looking forward to see how he plays, because I've been hearing so much about him since he's not in our division. Want to get a chance to take a look at him and see what the hype is all about. And then kind of in my comparison, when I watched the Broncos play, you know, kind of keep my eye on Patrick Surtain to see what makes him so special.
Before we go to break, there's not been anything really coming from Deshaun Watson. I'm a little confused. I'm surprised that the Texans haven't requested him to play.
Oh, No. You don't want to do that, because if he gets injured, then you in trouble.
I understand, but the whole situation is very complex. I get it, and it's weird, and obviously, but he's not been suspended or any legal actions from the NFL, right? They're paying him all this money to not even suit up. I'm just surprised the Texans, if they wanted to recoup some of the money, if you're thinking it from a strictly financial operation.
Well, the problem is they don't want to trade him to begin with.
I get that, but if you're not going to trade him, then why not play him? That's my point.
Because they are listening to trade options or trade talks, but.
But my point is, if you're not going to trade him, then why aren't you playing? If you're not going to play him, then why don't you at least say, hey, you have to play, you're on this team, suit up. And if he says, no, I'm not, then guess what? He gets fined for breach of contract or conduct detriment to the team. The whole situation to me is just very complex, very weird, and has been extremely quiet recently.
Well, one of the things is that, he's done everything the right way thus far. He showed up for practice. Wow. He hadn't been any troublemaker. They've decided to keep him on the sidelines. Now, granted, if he were to come out and say he wants to play, then the NFL and everybody, you know, then that's when you'll see everybody's head start twirling around in circles trying to figure out, you know, what they need to do.
Goodell's probably loving that, the fact he has to not do anything. Goodell's sitting back going, you know what? If he's not playing, I have no issues.
Exactly. So be that as it may, I mean, that's the situation that we find ourselves in right now.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, be joined by Bryce Wheeler, disability consultant for the Baltimore Orioles, co-founder of the Beautiful Lives Project. Get a lot of information from him. Really excited to talk to Bryce. We'll take a quick break. Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City.
Hi, Ollie Gates here. The Gates family would like to say thank you for allowing us to serve you for 75 years, a milestone which would not have been possible without your support. Thanks again, and remember, whatever the case may be, keep the faith.
Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Darren's back there jamming away. You know this is Nas, right?
Nope, but it sounds good.
But well, it's a cover of another song, Inagata De Vida. Joined now, Bryce Weiler, disability consultant for the Baltimore Orioles and co-founder of the Beautiful Lives Project. Bryce, how you doing?
Hi, Sterling and Darren. It's a pleasure to be on with both of you this afternoon.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us.
So, Bryce, I had a chance to talk with you a little bit yesterday. Really enjoyed our conversation. Excited to have you on today. First, give us a little background about yourself.
I was born 4 months premature, and due to too much light and too much oxygen when I was in the hospital, it caused the retinas in my eyes to detach, which caused me to be blind. Growing up, I listened to sports on the radio, listening to Brian Barnhart commentating Fighting Illini football and basketball, and Don Fisher commentating Indiana Hoosiers football and basketball. It was through listening to those two individuals that I really wanted to be involved in sports, but I did not think that I would have that opportunity since I cannot see. But fortunately, I became friends with the former University of Evansville Aces head men's basketball coach Marty Simmons, and Coach Simmons gave me the opportunity to sit on his Evansville men's basketball bench during my time there as a student at Evansville from 2010 to 2014. And I also commentated over 90 games on the radio when I was at Evansville as a blind radio analyst and broadcaster, and that led me to my other work being a sports disability consultant, helping out companies in the private sector, not in sports, and also with my nonprofit, the Beautiful Lives Project.
That is awesome. But, you know, I'll let Illinois pass. I'm a Mizzou guy, Bryce, so I'll let that one. We'll still be friends, okay? We're still cool because Indiana Hoosiers, that's awesome. So now you do disability consulting for the Baltimore Orioles. That is awesome. Can you break that down a little bit? What is that like? Because not everyone knows all about this, obviously, right? If you don't think about it every day, you don't experience that, you might not think about it. So can you break this down for us?
I'll tell you what I've done with the Orioles. First of all, I'd like to share with you about some of my good friends from the Missouri Tigers. We got Mike Kelly, who's their radio broadcaster, Konzo Martin, who I met in 2011 when he was coaching Missouri State, and they played over at Evansville. I've been friends with him for over 10 years now, and one of his assistant coaches, Chris Highland, who actually taught me how to shoot free throws through standing under the basket and clapping for me. So Missouri basketball has a special place for me, and I always listen to all of their games, especially with Coach Hollander and Coach Martin being the head coach, then Coach Hollander being his assistant. But what I've done for the Orioles is I've created a comprehensive program to accommodate individuals of all disabilities, from helping the Orioles to make their social media accessible for people of all disabilities, helping them to create programming to hire people of all disabilities for employment. We've done programs where people of all disabilities have been able to play on the field with the Orioles players and coaches at Camden Yards. And it's just been over 3 years now since the Baltimore Orioles became the first team in sports to wear Braille on their jerseys during a home game against the Toronto Blue Jays in 2018. And I was there helping and assisting and accommodating the 150 patrons we had who came to that game who were visually impaired or blind to experience the Orioles becoming the first team in sports to wear Braille on their jerseys.
I'm curious, when I was growing up, I knew I wanted to be involved in sports in some way because my first love was professional wrestling. I mean, that's the first thing I remember watching on television. My father took us here in Kansas City at the at Memorial Hall. I mean, that's father Troy growing up as kids back in the 80s. What was it, you know, what was your first love? What was the first thing that you came across? What sport did you come across that you felt like, you know, somehow, some way I got to be involved, whether it's through broadcasting or through coverage or something? What made you... You know, what was your first love?
Listening to games on the radio really got me interested in sports and really got me loving sports when I was younger, listening to football, baseball, and basketball. Since I've started assisting the Orioles as the disability consultant, I have reached out to other teams in the main 4 to 5 leagues, NFL, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, and it's really changed my viewpoint on sports to understand how so many teams don't want to help all disabilities. They'll pick 2 or 3 disabilities and they'll do everything for those disabilities. Fortunately, the teams in Kansas City with the Chiefs and your baseball team there, they both do a great job accommodating and assisting fans of all disabilities. So I can speak about that. But sometimes when I go on radio shows throughout the country, I'll be on a show in a certain city where 1 or 2 of their teams don't really do the best for accommodating fans of all disabilities. But I know I can't really talk about that because fans don't want to hear it when their team doesn't really do the best in something.
What are some of the things that you help implement? You know, because the Braille on the back of the jerseys, that honestly, it went viral, you know, for the Baltimore Oilers. That was a massive success. It got the word out. What are some of the other things that you do to help spread the word and get noticed and help these teams improve?
I can run a comprehensive program for them, so studying how they can make their jobs more accessible for all disabilities, ensuring that there's game day staff who knows sign language, making sure the stadium's accessible. I don't want to give away all of my secrets, I guess, but just running a comprehensive program where no one is left out. They do something for every disability. And any time that you make a choice, whether it be the accessibility of the website, how you post something on social media, you make one choice, say, that would really suit someone who's blind, putting in some more pictures with alt text captions. So those pictures would be to help someone who has trouble reading text so they can understand what's going on the website or in the social media posts. Now then, to make that work for someone who's blind, you have to write good alt text captions. So every choice that you make in anything, whether you're a sports team or a company, you have to consider how that choice will affect the main disability who you're trying to help and assist with the choice you're making, but also how that choice affects 7 to 8, 9 other disabilities, and just make it be as cohesive as you can for every disability.
So for some of the teams that you said maybe aren't doing the most or aren't doing the best, that maybe focus on only 2 or 3 disabilities, but then the rest, they seem to not put as much effort or resources in. Do you think some of that has to do with that, you know, they're like, maybe it costs too much and we don't see the return, which is obviously horrible? Or is it A, they don't have the information, they don't know, they don't realize maybe some of the people that they're actually leaving out?
It's a combination of the leagues don't have standards for what has to be done for fans of all disabilities. So you go from one stadium to another. Some places they have staff who knows sign language. Some teams have closed captioning boards. Some teams have none of those two items I just mentioned. So the leagues, whether it be my friend Rob Manfred, who's the MLB commissioner, or Adam Silver, who I know a little bit, who's basketball commissioner with the pro basketball NBA, those two men just not wanting to really set those standards because they are focusing on ticket sales, expanding their leagues, things like that, which are important things to do. But you got to have standards for these things, and once you have those standards, then there can really be ground broken, trend set, things like that. I think sometimes for the teams who accommodate 2 to 3 disabilities well, they get such great media coverage. One of the most common things now are helping to accommodate fans who have autism or learning disabilities or people who have trouble dealing with loud noises. So you set up sensory-friendly areas. You get really great media coverage off of that, but you're not doing very much for people who are blind, those who are deaf, and those individuals who might be in wheelchairs or other groups as well.
Hmm. Bryce Weiler. I apologize, Bryce. I missaid your name in the first segment. Bryce Weiler, disability consultant for the Baltimore Orioles and co-founder of the Beautiful Lives Project. Can you talk more about the Beautiful Lives Project?
The Beautiful Lives Project works to give individuals of all disabilities the opportunity to experience programs in sports, art, cheerleading, dance, ballet, various programs throughout the country. We work to unite people with disabilities, all ages and all disabilities, to give them the opportunity to live their dreams, whether it's playing on the court with a college basketball team, learning football skills, learning soccer skills, performing with a cheerleading team or a dance team. We're always looking for interested individuals to volunteer and assist us, whether it's helping us get videos and pictures at events or hosting events. We've not had an event in the Kansas City area, whether that be Missouri or the Kansas side of Kansas City. So we'd love to have people come out and help us. They can contact us through our website, www.beautifullives.org. They can email me at bryce@beautifullives.org. BRYCE at beautifullives.org. They would also like to donate. All of the funding goes to support our events for people with disabilities across the country and purchasing necessary items that might be needed, such as a sign language interpreter when we have individuals who are deaf coming to our various programs, or basketballs that have bells in them so people who are blind can learn how to make a free throw, various items like that. I love making people's dreams come true every day, because that's what the former Evansville, now current Eastern Illinois head coach Marty Simmons did for me for 4 years.
Where is an area, like, for example, that the Chiefs or the Royals, you said they're doing well, right? Kansas City, they're too maybe more progressive when it comes to being disability friendly, but where is areas that they can still improve? Because I know just because they're doing better doesn't mean that it's perfect, right? It's always going to be an ongoing, a growing process. What do, especially because being in the Kansas City area, you know, we talk Chiefs football all the time. We always talk about the on-field performance, right? We always talk about that. But off the field, where's an area they can improve in this aspect?
I know you have to ask a tough question like that because you are a sports caster and a journalist. I don't ever discuss where teams can improve on the radio, because I don't think that it's fair to call them out, especially two of the top teams in their respective leagues. I would say you could always be learning and trying to do more things and have dedicated days or events where you try to learn. You bring speakers in, whether it's myself or somebody who has various disabilities throughout Kansas City, where they share their experiences. They talk about how certain items can be made better or how things can be thought of in a different manner. I have things for both of those teams that I could suggest, but I don't think that it's fair to suggest them on a national radio platform. So if you know somebody from the Royals and the Kansas City Chiefs who'd like to get them to call me, feel free to have them call me. I'd love to discuss it with them. I'm sorry I can't give you the tantalizing answer to your questions that I know you've been hoping for the past day.
No, you're completely fine. That was diplomatic of you, Bryce. That was diplomatic. So basically you took it easy on them. So if you're listening and you're in the Kansas City Chiefs or Royals organization, reach out to Bryce. Final thoughts, Bryce. What do you want to tell everyone, your final parting gifts? Where can people go to and see all your stuff, all your work? Where can people get in touch with you? I know you touched on the Beautiful Lives Project, your Twitter. Just where can people get in touch and learn and grow?
People can connect with me on my LinkedIn account. I'm a big LinkedIn person. I've got over 29,700 LinkedIn connections.
Wow.
So I'm going for the maximum number of 30,000. I should be there in a few weeks. But people still have time to connect with me on LinkedIn. Just search Bryce Weiler, BRYCEWEILER. My current byline is the Gray Television Disability Consultant. That's a company in the private sector that I've started to help become more accessible. They can find me on Twitter. It's at Bryce Weiler, at capital BRYCE, capital WEILER. They can email me at bryce@beautifullives.org, BRYCE at beautifullives.org. They can donate to the Beautiful Lives Project or watch any of our outstanding videos and pictures and read up on the Beautiful Lives Project at our website, www.beautifullives.org. And my parting thoughts would be, anyone can really impact the lives of someone with a disability. You don't have to be a famous basketball coach or work for the Royals or the Kansas City Chiefs to really impact someone's life. You just have to reach out to them to try to learn something new, to also give them a helping hand and to help them to be able to live their dreams, to eradicate and overcome the obstacles and barriers that they're facing in their life. And anyone can be as impactful to one person with a disability or 25 or 50 or whatever number they're able to reach out to. And I know that that person or multiple people with a disability who they've reached out to and helped will be just as thankful for what they've done for them and think about that every day, just as I think about how sitting on Marty Simmons' Evansville basketball bench for 4 seasons changed my life and started me off on a journey to overcome obstacles, help people through sports, and work to make the world a more accessible place for everyone.
Bryce Weiler, disability consultant for the Baltimore Orioles and co-founder of the Beautiful Lives Project. Bryce, thank you so much.
Thank you both for having me on. I appreciate it greatly.
Thank you so much.
That was Bryce Weiler. We'll take a quick break. Darren and Sterling right here, ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Thank you again to Bryce Weiler coming on, disability consultant for the Baltimore Orioles. Check out everything he has going on. It's incredible stuff, what he's trying to do and trying to accomplish, making everything more accessible for people who might not have the same access and just access that everyone else has. So I think it's very cool what Bryce is doing. Darren, OBJ.
Yeah, it looks like he's trying to come back and play this weekend. I'm not sure how that's going to turn out. I mean, have they? I know he spoke to the media today, so the idea is for him to be able to come back and play Sunday. But what's the final word?
Looks like he said taking it one day at a time. In NFL speak, that's nothing. Exactly. One day at a time means could it be Eric Berry or could it be coming back next Sunday? No one knows. I'm a little surprised if he doesn't play. Jarvis Landry placed on IR, MCL sprain.
They're definitely going to need him.
They're going to need him. And I thought personally they sat him out against the Houston Texans because they didn't need him against the Houston Texans. But they're probably going to need him against the Chicago Bears, right? You know, the Bears, I don't think, are a great team, but when you don't have Jarvis Landry, you're going to count on Schwartz, a rookie. Is that going to be your number one guy, your go-to? I think they need to get OBJ back. Baker Mayfield's been off to a great start this year. You want to continue that trend?
No, I agree with you 1,000%. And here's the thing. Without Jarvis Landry, you don't have to really worry about trying to force throws his way. If he's able to get in there, you can kind of work him within the offense. And that's something that, if nothing else, they really need to, because they got to figure out what they're going to do with Odell. I mean, because, you know, since he's been injured, Baker has played, I'd say, much better than he did when he first initially got him, because he was trying to force everything to Odell. So hopefully, if he comes back, you know, he'll be on the right mind, right accord. And, I expect them to win Sunday. Hope they don't win by more than a touchdown. But if he doesn't play Sterling, I can't see how they blow him out. I mean, granted, you could try to run the football, but their defense statistically is much better than what Kansas City is. So I don't expect Khalil Mack and him to give up 4 touchdowns on the ground.
No, I'm 100% with you. Chicago White Sox win the AL Central for the first time since 2008. Little bit of a surprise that the White Sox have been down in the dumps for that long, for 13 years.
Never should have got rid of that coach.
What? I think it may have been – was it Tony La Russa? No, it wasn't Tony La Russa.
The one who won the World Series.
Was that in 05?
That's probably last time they won it, huh?
I think the last time they won was 05.
Let me see. I'm trying to –
when Aaron Rowan and Mark Burley.
Yeah, it's been a minute. It's been a minute since they won. I'm trying to, you know, the thing I'm curious about, because I know they're going to have a doubleheader soon, but Kansas City Royals are 3 games away from my free lunch or dinner, whatever you want to call it.
I know. The old gates, which is bull, because you get free gates.
Hold on. Again, they got to – game yesterday was postponed. They play the Tigers tonight. They're at the,
I know.
They're
they
at Detroit
they should
tonight.
Easily win 71 games or 72 games.
Well, I mean, look, the Tigers are 74 and 78. Nothing is guaranteed. So we don't make excuses where I come from. We have, what is it, 172 games?
162.
I'm sorry, 160. So we've played 152. Just got to win 3 out of 10.
2-8, baby. Let's go.
And you wonder why they don't credential you for the games.
Limp to the finish line. No, the Royals have done very good since the All-Star break. If only they did this the entire season. The Royals, though, always seem to do this, right? They love getting hot when it doesn't matter. It's their favorite thing to do. The AL Central has been a bit of a surprise. The Minnesota Twins were expected to compete for the AL Central title, and they're in the cellar at 67-85. Indians continuously going by on stellar pitching at 74 and 77. And then Detroit, another rebuilding team, kind of along the same time frame, same timeline as Kansas City, sit at 74 and 78. AL Central was open this year. Royals, for all the talk about could they make a wild card spot, I think very much disappointed when we look back at this year. we're going to sit back and say they didn't take that next step, right? We're going to sit back and say we thought they had a chance at a wild card spot, at least to compete for one. And even if they win, say, 74 games, right, 75 maybe the most, you're still sitting back going, wow, that seems like a disappointing season.
Yeah, but don't you feel like they got something to build off of?
Yes and no. I mean, Hunter Dozier took a step back. The only thing you need to build on is what happened in the minor leagues, which we've seen time and time again. Yeah, sure, great. Nick Prado, Bobby Witt Jr., they did great, right? That's what you want to see. MJ Melendez, but in the actual majors, I want to see more success there. Hunter Dozier took a massive step back. That was disappointing. Benintendi didn't do quite what I thought he was going to do this year. As a whole, I think the major league season, even some of the young pitchers, didn't succeed like we thought.
Now, you had asked me earlier about the game tonight. You really didn't go into your spiel on how you think this game's going to go and unfold.
Yeah, so I think I'm ripping the under. I'm taking Carolina. I'd probably take Carolina with the points. I know it's an 8-point game. I think Carolina wins by 10. Give me like 24-14. That's 38 points. That's the under. I'm going to go Carolina 24, Texans 14. So if you're going to bet, rip it, Darren.
I've already placed my bet. I told you.
Did you do what I said?
No. I'm gonna wait. I'll wait till Saturday after the USC. When I get my free money, then I'll drop some more in for Sunday.
This was Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City. We'll be back live in studio tomorrow as we take a look at the entire Sunday and Monday slate of games. We're out.